Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to come together, isn't it, to worship. Welcome here if you're in the building, and welcome to you if you're joining us online this morning. Doesn't matter where we are here to meet with Almighty God. I don't know if you've read the words that are on the screen, but a slight adaptation of mine from an old Sunday school and a school hymn. And it's the question really this morning. Do you know personally that Jesus loves you? Because he does. And this morning, as we think about another fruit of the Spirit, my prayer is that God will meet with us in a very real and dynamic way as we encounter him anew and afresh this morning as we just share together. I'm going to pray, and then the music group are going to lead us in a couple of songs. So let's just come and pray together. Lord, we're here this morning to worship you in word and song. Thank you that you welcome us with open arms. Jesus, we want to encounter you anew today. So open our hearts and minds to receive from you as we offer our praises, declaring your majesty. We step into your presence, an expectant people today. Holy Spirit, give us a hunger for your word. Come speak with us this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. As you welcome us, we're here to again say hello and that we love you. Have your way this morning, and don't let us restrict what you're planning to share with us. Draw us into a deeper relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're not governed by time or space, for you indeed created both. And as you meet with us here, you also meet with all those joining us who are online this morning. I echo the words of the psalmist who says, I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirst for rain. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. So lead us, Jesus, into a closer walk with you now as we continue in our time of worship together. Amen. Let's stand and sing our first song this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's worship his holy name together as we stand and sing.
Oh,
This morning, we're continuing our series looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm wondering if you know what comes next. We've got love at the top. We've not unpacked that yet. It's coming. Wait for it. We're going to come there in a few weeks. Love, joy, peace, patience. This morning, it is all about kindness. And I know that Sunday Social, you're all following these fruits as well as we go through. And I thought I'd give you a bit of a heads up this morning. So we're all just going to spend just a few minutes watching a little video that hopefully will give us an idea about kindness and what that actually means for our young people.
True kindness is being nice to other people even if they can't pay you. Hey guys, it's me again, Douglas, and today we're going to be talking about kindness. Yeah, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, and the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And yeah, so we're talking about kindness today, and kindness is pretty much just being nice to people. But it's more than that. It's being nice to everyone, even if they can't pay you back for it. And here's kind of what I mean by that. So I've got this friend at school. Well, I call him my lunch friend. He's not really like my friend. He's my lunch friend. And his name is Justin. And I call him my lunch friend because, well, at lunch he comes over and he sits down and we hang out and he tells jokes and he laughs at my jokes and he says nice things to me. And, you know, he's a really good friend. But not even every day at lunch is he a good friend. Sometimes at lunch he doesn't even come talk to me. And a lot of times, mostly at school, if we're not in the lunchroom, he's not talking to me at all. And I could not understand why he was only my friend on certain lunch days. And then finally I realized he's only my friend on cookie day. Yeah, so my mom, she makes these delicious cookies, okay? And sometimes she'll send me a couple cookies in my lunchbox. And on cookie day, Justin will come over and he'll hang out with me and he'll, you know, be friends with me and he'll be a really nice guy. And then he'll always, somehow in the conversation, he'll trade me something for one of my cookies. So Justin is only my friend so that he can get a cookie. Now, don't get me wrong, these are delicious cookies. But that's not cool. That's not a real friend. God wants us to be nice to everyone, even if they can't pay us back. And so I thought, well, he's not really my friend, so I'm not going to give him any more cookies. Because I thought I wasn't going to be his friend unless he was going to be my friend. God loves everyone. And if we love God, then we'll love everyone too. Because God does. That's what God wants for us. He says, love God and love other people. That's what we're supposed to do. Show kindness to everyone. Not because we want something from them, but because God loves them. And we should too. So if I say I'm only going to give my friendship to someone who gives their friendship to me, how am I any better than Justin? You know, he was my friend. He was saying nice things and he was hanging out with me and spending time with me and all that stuff just to get a cookie. And sometimes I think I'm only friends with people so that they will be friends with me because I want a friend. And man, though, it can be really hard to be nice to people who aren't nice to you in return. But if you are a Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you and you are living according to the Spirit, then you will be kind. Even the people who call themselves your enemy. So I decided that I'm still going to give Justin cookies. Yeah. If he comes over and he sits down next to me and he wants to talk because he wants cookies, I'm going to give him cookies. And maybe I might just give a cookie to him next time instead of trading him for something that he's got. So my challenge to you guys is this. I want you to think about all the different people that you see in your daily life, you know, whether you see people at school or at home or at church or just, you know, out doing errands with your mom and dad or wherever you are and whatever people you meet. I want you to think about each individual person. That might be kind of hard. There might be a lot of people, but I want you to really, really sit down and think about the different people that you see in your life. And I want you to ask yourself if you are being kind to them. And if the answer is no, then you definitely need to work on that. You should be kind to everyone. And if the answer is yes, you are being kind to them, I want you to ask yourself another question. I want you to ask yourself, why? Why are you being kind to them? Because if your answer is, I'm nice to them because they're nice to me, or you say, I'm nice to them because my mom says I have to be, then I think it's time to check your heart, to check and see if you are spending enough time with God and if you're living the way God wants you to. Because one of the best ways to tell if an apple tree is an apple tree is to see if it's got apples on it. And so if you want to be able to tell if you are living according to the Spirit of God, see if you're being kind to people. And if you're not, or you are being kind to people just so you get something from them, then you need to spend more time with God. God loves everyone, and God wants us to show everyone love too. God wants us to show His kindness to everyone that we meet. Even if they're mean to us, God wants us to show kindness to them. And yeah, that is very difficult. But the Holy Spirit living inside you, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is living inside you. God lives in you. You are God's temple. And God can help you to be kind. So let's all work really hard to show God's kindness to everyone, even if they can't pay us back.
Wow. That was a message and a half, wasn't it? So, the fruit of the Spirit. How many do we know? Well, it starts with love. The next fruit is? The next fruit is? The next fruit is? Followed by? Well, that was pretty easy, wasn't it? Okay. The next fruit is? Very good. Followed by? Oh, it's dissension now. Oh, we don't know. Where are we going? Faithfulness, followed by gentleness. And finally, number 9 is
self-control.
They are all linked together. Fruit of the Spirit. Why are they linked? Because the Spirit produces these things in our lives. And this morning we're looking at that, kindness. Douglas said, show kindness to everyone, even if they can't pay us back. So I want you to remember that this morning, young people, as you go to your groups in a second. I think you might have, there might be some cookies might be involved this morning, since Douglas was talking about them, so you might be listening to cookies, but we'll see. Let me pray with you guys, and then you can go to your groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for that reminder that we should be kind to everyone, even if that is difficult, even if we don't want to be kind. Your word says that we should be, so help us to be kind to everybody, even if they don't pay us back with kindness, because that's what you want us to be. So Lord, just bless our youngsters as they go to their Sunday social now. Give them a great time in whatever they do, whatever they get up to. Let them show kindness one to another. Bless the leaders as they lead this morning. And give them a great time. Give us a great time too as we continue here worshipping and hearing a bit more about what it means to be kind. Amen. Right, youngsters, you may go. And Simon's going to come now and he's going to share some more prayers with us before we sing again. Thank you, Simon.
Let us pray. Lord God, creator and sustainer of all, holy is your name. Lord, hear us as we bring our prayers for our world, a world you created, a world you sustain. Father, we think of the world around us, a world torn apart by conflict, man against man, country against country. How you must grieve, Lord, how this must grieve your heart. We pray for the leaders and decision makers of these battling countries, Lord, that they might know your saving grace and love. Father, we bring the war between Russia and Ukraine to you. We pray that your will be done. We pray for a resolution to the conflict. Lord, we offer our prayers for the people of both sides who have lost their lives, who have lost loved ones, who have been left behind. Those wounds run deep, Lord, and so we pray for your healing. We pray for the Christians in these areas, our brothers and sisters. We pray that they will know that we bring them and our support to you in our prayers today, Lord. As we think today about kindness, Lord, we pray the fruits of the Spirit will be evident there. We give thanks for the release of prisoners in Gaza. And Lord, we pray that this will be an end to this conflict. With so many people trying to exact control over others throughout the world, Lord, we pray for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Lord, we turn our prayers to our country. Whilst we are not at war with others, Lord, we face a fight just the same. When we turn on the TV, we are confronted with bad news, knife crime, murder and fighting. Lord, we bring our leaders to you this morning. We pray that your hand will guide them. Guide them in the decision making and planning. Guide them in how to run this country. A Christian country, Lord. How a Christian country should be governed and run, Lord. We pray that you will speak to our leaders. Especially with a new government now in place, Lord, we see so many changes. We pray for them and their plans they have, Father God. Thinking of our town now in Desborough, a place where we can have the most impact in what we do, say, and how we behave. We see more and more people struggling to make their money go far enough, Lord. Help us to support the work in our town and in our church. We give thanks for the people who run the warm welcome space and for the people who come every week. We pray that in offering this support, opportunities to witness will arise. At this point, Lord, we pray that the right words will be given to those who they speak with, that they will not only minister to their physical needs, but to their spiritual needs too, to tell them about you, Lord, and to explain what your Son did on the cross for all humanity. And if we are not able to help physically, remind us to pray. Lord, as these are intercessory prayers, we received a phone call this morning from a Margaret Hodson, somebody who attended our church many years ago. She's asked us as a congregation to pray for her son-in-law, Gary Boyle, who is very ill in France on a ventilator. And so, Lord, we bring him, we bring Margaret, and we bring the family to you now, asking for healing. Lord, there are so many other things, other people that will come to the minds of those in the congregation today. And so we sit quietly and just bring them to you now in our own prayers and on our own hearts. Lord God, we want to see change in our town. Let it start with us. Mould us, Lord, into your likeness to serve this community for you. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Before I share a few thoughts on our topic this morning, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn that we've not sung for a while. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaim it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Thank you, Brian. Let's stand and sing together. Seated. A reminder that our scripture that we're concentrating on comes from Galatians chapter 5. Just a couple of verses because we've read them over the past few weeks, but just a reminder. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I don't know how many of you have seen the film Evan Almighty, but it sees a man called Evan Baxter, a newly appointed US congressman, trying to make a good impression as he embarks on a new career as a politician. He moves with his family to a large newly built house to be closer to his swanky offices, but doesn't take too kindly to God showing up at inopportune moments in answer to the prayer that Evan has been praying every night, wanting to change the world. What he thinks he needs to do to change the world is, of course, not what God thinks he should do. God wants Evan to build an ark. We're going to watch one of the conversations that he has with God as he struggles to come to terms with getting his head around building an ark. Let's see a conversation that he has with God.
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Al, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark. I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it.
It's remarkable, isn't it, that one small clip from a secular film is packed, actually, with so much theology. Whatever God does because he loves us. A reminder that God is sovereign and his plans will be fulfilled. Our plans, of course, are sometimes quite laughable. But if God gives us a job to do, even if we haven't a clue how to accomplish it, he will equip us and guide us to succeed. And one of my favorite quotes from the movie, God saying, "You want to know how to change the world? One act of random kindness at a time." So it comes as no surprise this morning that we're considering the Spirit's fruit of kindness. I said a few weeks ago that these fruit are arranged in triads. We've seen love, joy, and peace, and love is going to be unpacked in a few weeks' time. Three Christian virtues that are directed towards God. Kindness finds itself sandwiched between patience and goodness. And these three are considered to be social virtues. Three Christian graces that are directed towards other people. I wonder how many of you can hear one of your parents saying to you when you were little, "Now that wasn't a very kind thing that you just did." I must admit, it was said to me a fair few times, especially when I was giving my sister a whack or trying to blame her for something that I had done. And I know it's really hard to believe, but I could be quite naughty at times. But here in the Galatians passage, we're reminded that we're supposed to have an attitude of kindness towards each other. Now, being encouraged, as we are at college, to look at the Greek, I share this with you this morning. Anybody fluent in Greek, brave enough to give this a go? I know there are some here who are... Ian? That's good enough, yes. Christoses. Defined as kindness, goodness, and gentleness. And now we have a problem. And it was at this point, as I was looking at this word in the Greek, that I wished I hadn't delved into its meaning. Thank you very much, Regent's College. As goodness and gentleness are separate fruits in their own right. And there for another week. So this one word, it couldn't mean all three things in this context. Or at the very least, it had to be a different type of goodness and gentleness to the spiritual fruit. Right? But kindness is a spiritual fruit. And if the word actually means kindness, goodness and gentleness... Now, you see my problem. But all is not quite lost. I backtracked a little bit. And I went back to the root of the word. And I was so glad I did. Coming from the word Christos, which actually means useful or good. So in reality here, we don't just have kindness for its own sake. We end up with useful kindness. In other words, it's an act that meets a real need. Back to changing the world by one act of random kindness at a time. The fruit of the Spirit is more than just being kind for its own sake. It's a divine kindness. A Spirit-produced kindness with a wrapper of goodness thrown in. It's kindness which suggests an idea of generosity, having a giving spirit that reflects actually how God treats us. And if you want a reminder of what that actually looks like, we can find a passage in Titus chapter 3 which says this. When God, our Saviour, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. That's the type of God that we serve. Saved by his grace and his mercy. Now, in describing this kindness, part of the problem, in actual fact, is that we don't have a single English verb that contains the notion of being kind and good. So we're left then with a broader definition. Useful kindness, a generosity which is divinely directed. And this is going to be our starting point this morning for Christosis. Now, I'm sure, like me, you can think of many examples in the Bible which portray some form of kindness. In fact, the Bible is littered with such. Joseph shows kindness to his brothers when he finally reveals himself in Egypt. Rahab shows kindness to spies that she hides. David shows kindness to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, for the sake of their fellowship. Maybe you were drawn to the story of the Good Samaritan, the only one to show kindness to the Jewish stranger left severely beaten by the roadside. And of course, there's Jesus himself, the very model of kindness. Every miracle, the healings, feeding 5,000, so many acts of compassion, all extending kindness and love to those he met during his ministry. But this morning, I just want to focus on two stories that draw out this thought of useful kindness or meeting the need, which is divinely shaped. The first is a story of a Moabite woman who would rather live as a foreigner and alien than abandon her mother-in-law. And of course, that lady is Ruth. And the kindness and loyalty that Ruth showed Naomi was to be rewarded as the story unfolds. You remember that her need was such that she found herself collecting the grain from the edge of a field, ears of barley that the harvesters had left behind. She was in survival mode. But the landowner, Boaz, showed kindness above and beyond what was expected. As the story unfolds, we can actually see that he shows a Christ-like love. And there are many similarities between him being Redeemer and Christ redeeming us. He gave out of the abundance that he had. And he gave generously. He allowed her to work not the edges, but behind the harvesters, also instructing them to purposefully drop barley for her to pick up. And we also know that he allowed her to eat at the harvester's table. We pick up the story in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asks. "I'm only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied. "But I also know about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." Boaz provided protection and provision. And this whole story shows a kindness that led to redemption. Ruth's marriage to Boaz secured her future and that of Naomi, moving them from a place of exclusion to a place of inclusion. Boaz meets the need, a very useful kindness. But of course, we know that God was involved here too. We see his providential hand at play. Of all the fields that Ruth could have picked to collect barley, she found herself in the one field belonged to Boaz, who was one of her kinsmen. Coincidence? I think not. And of course, the kindness that Boaz, that paved the way for Ruth's inclusion in the lineage of Christ through their son Obed. This is a reminder that when we're displaying kindness, helping to meet the needs of others, that God is at work too. And of course, this should come as no surprise, as this is a kindness that is shown through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we don't necessarily know what long-term effect kindness has when we demonstrate it, either openly or in secret. But God knows, and that's all that matters. The second story that I want to share with you comes from Jesus himself. The story of a cheating, horrible, unsavory, unlikable tax collector that wanted to see Jesus. Here was an act of kindness so profound that it changed a life. And the ripple effect meant that lots more lives were changed as a result of this one gesture. Now, it came to me, and excuse me for a second, for just moving away from kindness for 1 second. I'm just going to go off on a bit of a tangent. I think I've just about got time. So I'm going to wrap a second sermon in the middle of this sermon. Is that okay? And I want you to ask yourself the question, what do you do if you want to see Jesus. I want to offer you three things. If you want to see Jesus, make it intentional. Zacchaeus wanted, in fact, I think he was desperate to see Jesus. He knew he was coming, and we're told that he ran ahead of the route Jesus was going to take. Something very unseemly for a tax collector to do. He had a determination about him. And if we want to meet with Jesus, we've got to be intentional. Set aside a time and a place. Even put it in your diary. Because life can so easily get in the way, which actually robs us of an opportunity to get to know Jesus better. The second thing, remove any barriers. Zacchaeus, we know, was a very short man, and he couldn't see over or through the crowd. No one was going to let him through. Nobody liked him. So what did he do? He climbed a tree. He wasn't going to miss out on what might have been his only chance of seeing Jesus. I want you to ask yourself this morning what it is that might stop you from getting to know Jesus better. What barrier, or dare I say, excuse, do you come up with which steals away a chance to meet with Jesus? What is it that prevents us from being part of a nurture group or attending a prayer meeting? Two places you're definitely going to encounter Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to point out anything that might stop you meeting with God. So if you want to see Jesus, make it intentional. Remove all barriers. And thirdly, respond when he calls. Jesus wasn't concerned with the crowds. There were probably lots around that needed Jesus to do something for them. In this moment, he was extending a personal invitation to one person, the man up the tree. It was his life that was important at that very moment and in that very place and at that very time. So how do we respond when Jesus calls us by name? And the result, the man got far more than he was expecting. The kindness and acceptance afforded by Jesus to Zacchaeus led to a personal transformation. He became a changed person. And I think that there was probably a lot of paying back fourfold on that day. And it reminds me that we can become changed people too. All encounters with Jesus leave us different. We just need to accept the invitation to get to know Jesus better. He longs to spend time with you and I. So how is this kindness fruit developing in your life? Did you know that our acts of kindness can help point people to Jesus? An apple tree produces apples. A follower of Jesus should be producing a useful kindness, meeting a need. I wonder what your last act of random kindness was. It might not change the world, but it could change the life of a neighbour, or friend, or community. So pray for an opportunity to share Jesus this coming week and bless someone with an act of kindness as we continue helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. Let me finish by quoting a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4, which says this. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Instead, let's be kind. Amen. We're going to finish our time this morning by singing another hymn I don't think we've sung for quite some time. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of His word. In God, my Saviour, shall my heart rejoice. Let's stand and sing this hymn together as we close.
Thank you.
Please stay for a tea and a coffee and share together as we finish. But let's say the grace to each other as we finish our service this morning.
It's cold.
Always. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.